go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubecker, your host. Glad you could join us for another great episode. This one, we're going to take a somewhat deep dive into a very, very important topic. It's something that I base most of my businesses around. It's something that I definitely try to think about every day. The word is innovation. So to me, innovation is defined as just a new method, idea, product, or way of doing things. It creates change. It creates momentum at times. And it also is a great way that you can differentiate yourself as a business. You know, I've always relied on innovation and doing things different and finding the gap. I talk about that in my book, Adapt and Overcome. And it's very, very important to differentiate yourself, not only as an individual, but definitely as a business, in how you attack the marketplace. So without innovation, then the way we compete is simply on price, which it's a race to the bottom. It's who wants to go out of business first. In order to have a healthy business, you have to have healthy margins, and you have to constantly be on top of those margins and know exactly what your numbers are and where you're at and where you want to be. So really, there's a few different ways of innovation as it applies to business. Some call it like revenue-based innovation, which really is looking at how you're doing things and how you're collecting revenue and changes. Like, for example, so let's talk about the IT space. As you know, I have one of my businesses is a managed services provider, basically becomes the IT department for small to mid-sized businesses that don't have their own. Operates help desk, really a turnkey type deal. Well, the old way of doing things used to be, I charge you for the hours I work to fix things. Well, the problem with that model is it made it a little bit more difficult to charge for proactive work. It required a lot of record keeping as far as exactly how many minutes, much like, say, an attorney would do for you, how many minutes were spent on your case, or in this case, on your support. Well, the new business model that we've adapted is, it's called the managed services style. Basically, it's an all-you-can-eat, set monthly fee that covers all of the preventative maintenance we do, as well as any break fix, as well as help desk, as well as any on-site visits. So for a one set price, people are able to know exactly what IT support is going to cost them every month, which makes budgeting great, which helps level things out. And also it helps us do a better job and it helps customers run better. But anyway, so that would be one type of innovation that changed an industry, if you will. So that would be more of like business model type innovation, which is the second type. But you could also call it revenue model, because the fact that you're charging differently and the way customers are budgeting is differently and whatnot. Now, the last area or type of innovation, broad category, I guess you could call it, would be like an industry innovation. So where something like you're totally trying to turn things on end and you're changing around. It could be a product based. It could be how you're servicing. It could be a whole bunch of different things. It could be like, for example, say Carvana kind of made a lot of changes to how cars were sold. They made it real easy with an online process, delivered right to you, no more going around and access to a lot more cars. So that would be one great example of how industries have changed. Now, there's a whole bunch of reasons why innovation is important. It's really important for your business. It's really the lifeblood of new growth for your business. And really may determine the success or failure of your business in the end. You know, innovation definitely grows your business. If your business grows, then if you're doing things relatively right, you should also increase your profits. Innovation also adds you to add value to what you're doing for people. It allows you to create something beyond just a commodity business. It enables you to take your business to the next level, if you will. You know, innovation can also help you stay ahead of the competition. You know, it helps you predict what the market is doing or is about to do as a prediction, and also helps keep you ahead of and anticipating of your customers' needs. It helps you give them the things that they don't know they want yet. So therefore, you're able to do it before everyone else, which gives you a huge competitive advantage. Let me give you a couple great examples from the gun industry about some recent innovations. So the most common innovation you see in the firearms industry is often new products. So new products are very, very powerful for both the brands that create them as well as the retailers, because sometimes you can be completely comfortable with the status quo of what you have and don't see a need to change until a new product comes out and you say, oh, well, that product, let me check it out. Okay, it would do exactly what I need to do and it would do what I have now better. Like, for example, okay, talk about the Evolution. Real popular carry handgun in the United States, SIG P365. So the original 365 was a small gun, originally 10-round magazines only, and it really was a small, around the size of like a Glock 43, if you're familiar with Glocks. Well, it did a great job. It was a nice gun, shot really well. People loved it. All right. So it was well accepted in the marketplace, so SIG decided to make the next evolution of it, which is the P365 XL. So that one grew the grip a little bit, making it a little longer, a little easier to grab for people with big hands, and it also made the slide and barrel slightly longer. So it was slightly more accurate, slightly nicer to shoot. Again, great gun. A lot of people made the switch to those. Well, now they've came out with a couple different Gucci versions. I've made one of the 365 and 365 XL, and then they made their custom series called the Spectres, you know, which were great, but they had a real limited following. Because while they were, the trigger may have been slightly better, they may have been looked nicer, they may have just been, you know, Gucci'd up, but there wasn't any real major adoption of those. So now enter the SIG X Macro. Well, so what they did with the X Macro is basically they took a P365 XL, they stretched the grip slightly. So now instead of a 15-round max with an extended magazine or the 12-round max normal with a flush magazine, they have a flush magazine and they can hold 17 rounds. Yeah, that's the same as like a full-size Glock 17. The technology is amazing in it. And on top of that, they put a compensation on the slide. So basically what that does is as the bullets fired and as the hot gases fly out, it causes some of them to go upward. And by going upward, it pushes down against the muzzle of the gun, so it helps keep it down and controls muzzle flip. So basically it allows you to get on target with your additional shots quicker or fire faster and stay on target. So by doing this, they innovated in a couple different things. One is it's the highest capacity, really concealable firearm out there at this point. I mean, if you ever try to conceal a Glock 17, it's a big gun. It's a big gun. It's a full-size duty gun. It's what you see a lot of police officers carrying in their holsters. And sometimes it's even bigger than some of that. Sometimes they'll carry the size down, which would be the Glock 19 or the Glock 45. So anyway, by creating that completely innovative product, it was way ahead of the competition at this point. Now, do I have any doubt that the others will catch up at some point? And yeah, probably. It's going to take a bit. I mean, this thing is way ahead of what's out there right now. And by doing that, okay, they sell some product, which is great. The retailers gets people in for their retailers that maybe haven't been in for a while. Maybe they had a 365 XL and they're totally happy with it until there's something better out there, better mousetrap. And there's some clear advantages on this one for sure. And it also takes and cements their brand name. Like everybody would talk about SIG now, they talk about innovation and they talk about being at the cutting edge of the industry. Whereas some other ones, like say, for example, Smith & Wesson, well, they came out with the Shield Plus, but that's still only 13 rounds and there's really nothing exciting about it. So I don't view these days, don't view Smith & Wesson as really as an innovator in the industry. Definitely SIG. To some extent, Springfield, some of their stuff, like the Hellcat Pro with 15 rounds, which is actually the exact same footprint as the new SIG. But anyway, I won't waste too much time just getting into all these. We can talk guns all day long, and I won't do that on here because I know a lot of you aren't even from the gun industry listening, but that's okay. I think these are great examples, though. So innovation definitely helps drive people to your stores, I should say to your retailer stores if you're a manufacturer. And if you're the one on the end of getting that traffic, it's awesome. So innovation is a very good thing in any new technologies, whether it can be, you know, a new product, or it could be just a new category of products. Any of those sorts of things that you're doing differently that maybe your competition is not, those are absolutely things that you can focus on. So now that being said, there's always risks involved with innovation, and it's not a guaranteed success. You have to be right. You not only have to come out with a product that's good and works, or do things differently that customers want, but it has to be effective. It has to be good. So there's always risk involved that it won't be accepted. Like, for example, a couple flops in the firearms industry. And again, just examples because they're low-hanging fruit for me. These come to mind. So Smith & Wesson's Bullpup shotgun. A lot of hype, a lot of advertising they put into it. And customers really didn't like it. Now they're sitting everywhere. Just didn't really fill much of a niche that wasn't being filled by some others like Kel-Tec and whatnot. But another flop that comes to mind was Springfield's new precision rifle. Well, it's not really a precision rifle. It's kind of a cross between a precision rifle and an AR. Kind of a little more accurate AR. Their new Saint. Again, not really well accepted. Prices falling on them like crazy. You can't hardly sell them for anything. But when they came out, again, a lot of hype. So it doesn't just have to be new and different. It also has to be what the customer wants. So that's a very important litmus test. You want to make sure when you're doing things is think about things through a customer's eyes and do the best you can to make sure what you're going to do or how you're going to do it is definitely accepted and wanted and will be craved by the customer. So some of the drawbacks of innovation is, you know, there's of course an expense that goes with it. It's not free. Making change of any sort, whether it's remodeling a store or whether it's creating a full new product if you're a manufacturer, or whether it's changing around how you do things or adding different staff, or any of these things are all an expense. So it's risky. You don't know for sure that it's going to make a difference, and you don't know for sure that customers are going to accept it. And so therefore, there's always risk. But like they say, with no risk comes no reward. Time. Innovation takes a lot of time, and it could certainly tie up a lot of your resources trying to do the innovation that would be pulled away from the operations of your daily business. So therefore, you could be losing profits or you could be losing customers if you drop some balls because you're stretched too thin. So it's very, very important to make sure that you're effectively scheduling your innovation and that you're still allotting the resources needed for your daily operations to make sure that everything else you're doing still gets done with excellence and keeps your customers happy. Because as we all know, it's much easier to keep a customer than it is to find and get and secure a new customer. I mean, I guess the last thing I would worry about with innovation is instability. You know, you can have great new ideas, which are exciting. And like, if you're at all like me, I love shiny objects. So I definitely have to fight myself. And I have my business partner, Jim, for that, who brings me in and keeps me focused on the things that we want to do. Definitely have to make sure that you got the stability and all the other things that don't go in too many new directions at once, or that could be perceived as you're kind of all over the place and you're not doing anything well. So I would definitely urge you all to look at innovation as a tool and look at it as a way that you can definitely set yourself apart in business. You know, if you're just playing the commodity game of, all right, I'm selling the same things as the business down the street and I'm doing it the exact same way and there's nothing exciting about my business, my branding is boring, all those sorts of things, think twice, because it's just a matter of time before someone else comes and decides to innovate and blows you away. And then you don't have a business anymore, or your profits shrink, or any of those sorts of things. So take the time now. You know, it's sort of goes to the thing of they always say the best defense is a great offense. So having a great offense, meaning an offense as an innovation and change and making things better and doing things with excellence and different than the competition, will just set you apart that and just be that much more effective for you as a business. Don't be afraid to take chances, but make sure that they're calculated risks. Make sure that you're doing your homework and make sure that you're not just jumping into 15 different things at once. Be very strategic in how you make your moves and take your time and do all the analysis and make sure that the numbers are right also. But then at the same time, don't be afraid to move and don't sit on your hands and don't just accept things as the status quo because that's how they've always been done. You can make a huge difference in your industry. You can make a huge difference in your customers' lives and you can make a huge difference for your employees. But you have to take the initiative and you have to start looking at your industry through a whole different set of glasses. Thanks so much for joining us again on the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If someone needs to hear it, please send it their way. Send them a link, tag them, any of those sorts of things. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're all over the place. Thanks so much for listening. And if there's anything I can do to help you, please feel free to DM anytime or go to steveschaubacher.com and find all of my contact info. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.